You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here on today's show. We will have a mix of football and basketball talk on today's show. In the first segment, there continue to be questions about, okay, what exactly is going on in Knoxville? What is the thinking of the administration? Things have been relatively quiet. Does that tell us anything? There was a big move at the University of Texas over the weekend. How does Tennessee's situation compare to the situation at Texas? Some thoughts here in the first segment of today's show. Also, should Tennessee be saying anything definitively regarding Jeremy Pruitt? We'll get to that here in segment number one. In segment number two, I'm going to talk to Blake Lovell of Blue Ribbon Yearbook about the first week of SEC basketball play. Tennessee got an impressive win at Missouri and then suffered a disappointing loss against Alabama. What should we make of it? We'll talk about that in segment number two. And then I have some personnel news items with another player deciding to come back to Tennessee for the 2021 season and a potential transfer to pay attention to. I'll talk about that on today's show. Locked On Vols is here 5 days a week covering what's going on with Tennessee. It's available anywhere you listen to podcasts. Keep spreading the word to other Tennessee fans, and rating and reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts is a big help. Locked On Vols is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And as I mentioned, it's been a relatively quiet time at Tennessee. Tennessee has put out a statement here in the last 24 hours or so acknowledging that UT has brought in some outside assistance with the internal investigation that's going on with Tennessee's football program. What exactly does that mean? Well, depending on who you talk to, you can hear people who think, well, this is a really big deal, or others that think, I mean, it's something that they're looking into, but I don't think it's that big of a deal. You can also find differing opinions or different speculation on how this affects different people on Tennessee's coaching staff, whether you're talking about assistant coaches. Of course, Jeremy Pruitt would come up in conversation here. And in that 24 to 48 hour window during the final weekend of the regular season, when the story came out during the Texas A&M game, especially that 24 hour period, there was all kinds of speculation. And here we still are without too much information. And around the country, you can find plenty of people that cover college football continuing to speculate on the possibility that there could be a coaching change at Tennessee. Not saying that there will be, but just believing that it's still a possibility that nothing is officially determined regarding Jeremy Pruitt and his status for 2021. It was a subject on Josh Pate's show, Late Kick, with 247 Sports. Josh does a good job, I think. He's been on Sports 180 with us a number of times. Might need to see if we can get him back on there soon. But as he began the show talking about the Texas situation, with Tom Herman being fired over the weekend and Steve Sarkisian being hired, it was a very quick move. Saturday morning, Tom Herman was out. By Saturday afternoon into the evening, Steve Sarkisian was officially the head coach at Texas. You don't see that a lot. That's not how Auburn's coaching search went. It took about a week and a half for Auburn to replace Gus Malzahn. You never see that with Tennessee coaching searches, at least when you look at the search to replace Lane Kiffin. It went pretty quickly because it had to, but it was a mess for 3 days. Same with Butch Jones, kind of. They thought they had Charlie Strong and then ended up with Butch Jones in the end. And then you remember the search to find Butch Jones' replacement. There were multiple searches, in fact. Josh Pate, on his show, Late Kick with 247 Sports, talked about what Texas did, how Texas approached its coaching search, and how that would appear to be different if Tennessee were to maybe travel down that road.
What they did is they went after Canada Day. And when that didn't work out, they just kind of put out, if you read it close, a generic statement that said, he's our coach. It didn't say anything about really, we're long-term committed to him, but it did quiet down enough of the noise to where it got it off the radar. And there was some momentary certainty, you know, for signing day purposes and whatnot, whether you think that's right or not, there was some certainty as to where the program was right now. And then when they wanted to make the move, it was like the snap of a finger. You went from not knowing it was going to happen to 20 minutes later, not only did you know it was happening, you knew who the replacement was going to be. Well, that's how you do it. Right now, none of that exists at Tennessee. It's total limbo. You know that there's an investigation going on, and some of it's internal, by the way, an investigation going on. What's the purpose behind that investigation? They've already been poor on the field. Jeremy Pruitt certainly does not have anything that would be remotely close to considered universal support. in the fan base or behind the scenes? Is this being done potentially to obviously thwart a buyout that they would have to pay so they can get rid of him and, you know, not have to pay a ton of money to do it? All that speculation, I can't tell you one way or the other. I can tell you I feel like that's probably what's going on, but I can't tell you definitively. But I would also ask this. I would ask, what's a timeline here? When are we going to know anything? Like, that's the question. Because here's a really bad place to be. It's a really bad place to be sitting here in January after the dust has settled, the season is over, the early signing date is over, and every day that passes, you get that much closer to spring football in the 2021 season. I know it's January, but that's how you have to think, because everyone else out there you're competing with has already either made a move, in the case of South Carolina, or, you know, at Georgia, there is no move to be made. Florida's got a different set of circumstances, but everyone else is moving forward, man, and you are sitting there in total and complete limbo. What are the players on your roster supposed to think? What are your recruits supposed to think? What are your signees supposed to think? And, hey, what's the rest of the coaching staff supposed to think?
They might be wondering as well. You might have noticed Josh Pate mentioned Florida there. There continues to be at least rumors around Dan Mullen possibly being in play with NFL jobs. And maybe he's not, but that talk is out there. That speculation is out there. If that were to happen, if Dan Mullen were to jump to the NFL, that really could create a domino effect with college football coaching positions. And I wonder if that could affect Tennessee if the Vols were considering making some kind of move. So with Tennessee, what is the timeline? I don't know, but this is the January 5th episode. At some point, something has to happen one way or the other. And I was asked on Twitter by Bruce, what is the point? Does Tennessee really need to come out with a statement? I would say not necessarily, not if you don't know for sure what's going to happen. I mean, Josh Pate's laying out the Texas plan, but that was going back to December. They had the early signing period to get through, and I do think that was part of the tactic there. But for Tennessee, they need to come to a decision. There needs to be some conclusion for 2021. Is Jeremy Pruitt for sure going to be the head coach? Tennessee should not say anything, in my opinion, until Tennessee knows one way or the other. It does create this cloud over the program. It does leave a lot of people in limbo, but at the same time, it would be a really bad look, I think, to come out right now and say, yes, Jeremy Pruitt's the coach, and then make a move, or to come out and say, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. That's not going to help matters. So I don't think Tennessee should be saying anything really officially until it knows something. It just needs to know something. It needs to make a decision fairly soon, because here we are, January 5th will turn into the second week of January, and people are going to continue to wonder. And you are out there recruiting and trying to bring prospects in as transfers. If Tennessee were to go make hires for the coaching staff, if Jeremy Pruitt were to add an offensive line coach or a defensive line coach, perhaps that should tell us something. But being radio silent when it's loud on the outside, you can only do that for so long. And at some point, people are going to want to hear from somebody, the head coach, the athletic director, maybe somebody in the administration. But in the meantime, around the country, there was a lot of talk, at least, around what's going on at Tennessee. A lot of speculation out there, as there tends to be in the world of college football. It's a different conversation with Tennessee basketball. While the Vols are coming off a disappointing loss this past weekend, Tennessee is number 3 in the net rankings that came out on Monday behind Gonzaga and Baylor, and the Vols are still very much in play to win the SEC title and to be able to go on a deep run in the NCAA tournament. I'm going to talk about week one in the SEC with Blake Lovell of Blue Ribbon Yearbook. When I come back, Locked On Vols is here 5 days a week, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And today's show is presented by betonline.ag. If you go to the website, you can see that Devontae Smith is a clear favorite to win the Heisman Trophy, which will be announced on Tuesday. That's something to pay attention to. And when you go to the website, you can bet on not only who's going to win the Heisman Trophy, but they have a number of odds that are available for you. This is at betonline.ag. And remember, you can always bet on football games with the NFL playoffs starting up this weekend or the national championship game next week, but you have odds on the Heisman Trophy winner. Also, you can bet on who will finish second in Heisman votes and finish in third. They have soccer bets that are available for you all the time. This is at betonline.ag. They have all kinds of sports, so you're covered there. If you've been sitting on the sidelines, don't do it anymore. Go to betonline.ag, sign up today for a free account, and use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus. When you go to betonline.ag, remember to use promo code LOCKEDON, that's one word, to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I want to welcome to the show Blake Lovell with Blue Ribbon Yearbook on Twitter at the Blake Lovell. Blake, we've seen the first week of SEC basketball play. I appreciate the time as always, by the way. Let's go in order, but what did you make of week one for Tennessee in the SEC? A blowout win at Missouri and then coming back home and losing to Alabama on Saturday night.
Yeah, Josh, welcome to the SEC this season. I think that's the best way to put it. Like you said, they get just a huge win against a very impressive Missouri team on the road by 20, and then you come back and lose to an Alabama team that's still been pretty up and down this season, despite probably having more talent maybe from top to bottom than they've had in recent years. But yeah, it's one of those where I think you're just going to have some of these games. And I think even for a team like Tennessee, you know, they're not to the point where we see a team like Gonzaga just go through and just, you know, obliterate teams to this point. Like Tennessee, as I've told you many times, I think they're good enough to not only get to Final Four, I think they're good enough to win it all. I think their defense is good enough to go up against a team like Gonzaga, where you have Tennessee right now, efficiency-wise, still the best defensive team in the country. But there are just going to be times where I think, you know, that they still have to make some strides on offense. And, you know, when you go up against certain teams, it's just sometimes the matchups don't work out to your favor. And I think this is one where, you know, Alabama came out, played pretty well, and you give the Crimson Tide credit for that. But beyond that, I mean, you know, it's still one of those where, you know, if you ask me, I still think Tennessee is the team to beat in the SEC. You know, and then elsewhere, it's just you're going to have some of these wild games just because, as we've said so many times, the circumstances surrounding the season are just different. And some teams kind of are able to get into a groove, and sometimes you just have some of these games where you just don't play very well.
Yeah, and Blake, I came out of the Alabama game not saying that it was a good loss for Tennessee. They didn't want to lose the game, but I think it can be a useful loss for Tennessee, for Rick Barnes and his coaching staff. What do you think?
Yeah, I know it can, and that's the thing is, you know, I mean, Alabama's 2-0. Like, they, you know, started off, played pretty well, and I think Alabama's ultimately going to be a team that, you know, is in the NCAA tournament, despite, you know, maybe, like we said, losing some of those games in non-conference play. But I just think that, you know, when you look at the overall makeup of the roster, you know, in games like this where, you know, you just particularly – don't necessarily shoot the ball as well as you'd like, certainly. I think that was obviously something that stood out in this game. And mm-hmm. just overall, I mean, I think there are just different things like that to where there are some – and I always thought the strength of this team is going to be defense, and it has been thus far. And, you know, the offense, sometimes it takes a little – well, usually it's the opposite, isn't it, where we talk about some of these teams where the offense is maybe there first and the defense comes behind. For Tennessee, it's sort of the opposite, where the defense, I think, is always going to be there. You know, and I just think it's a situation where, you know, Alabama's a pretty good team, and we talked about that going into the season. I mean, Alabama's got as good a group of guards, you know, as and many people in the SEC. Like, you could say that, like, their depth at guard is just tremendous. And I think it's just one of those games where Alabama, you know, made the plays they had to make, and just one of those for Tennessee. You chalk it up, like you said, and learn from it.
Yeah, and, you know, Tennessee played most of the game without Jaden Springer, who was unavailable yep. because of injury. Did that show Tennessee was struggling to get something going offensively? Obviously shot poorly, but do you think that showed that Springer is going to be really important for Tennessee in terms of generating offense and maybe Keon Johnson in that role as the season goes along too?
Yeah, for sure. And I think we always knew that they were going to be sort of different without him on the floor in this game. It was just, you know, one of those things where if he's not on the court, I mean, we knew how talented he was from an offensive standpoint coming into the season. And we knew that he was going to be able to provide them with some things that, you know, maybe they haven't had on a couple of those teams here in recent years. And he's just a very, you know, different kind of talent. And he's certainly adjusted pretty well, I'd say, at this point in terms of adjusting to the college game. And I don't really know that we ever had a lot of concerns about that. But yeah, I think offensively, you know, for Tennessee, you're going to need, I think, your full assortment of talent here, because, you know, I think, again, and some of these guys are standout offensive players, but I also think this is a team where, you know, are they just going to have somebody come out and score 35 points every night? We know that's not the case. And so you've got to have some of that balance. And I think when you take a guy like that away from it, who is going to be an important part for them the entire season, it does kind of, you know, it messes with the chemistry a little bit. It messes with some of the things that you do. And we saw that. I mean, they struggled to score the ball here. year, and going up against a team like Alabama that when they get hot, you know, when they shoot as many, you know, their offense is just rolling as fast as it is, sometimes catching up, it's not easy to do.
Yeah, Tennessee's seen that from John Petty before. And then on Saturday before Tennessee's game against Alabama, Missouri had an impressive win against Arkansas. Missouri coming off that loss against Tennessee. Arkansas is Tennessee's next opponent, and I know Arkansas was not at full strength, but what did you make of the Razorbacks in that game as Tennessee gets ready for Eric Musselman's team this week?
Yeah, I think Arkansas, you know, still, I think they're still to be determined for me. I just, you know, when you look at their non-conference schedule, their record is very impressive at 9-1, but again, if you look at who they've beaten, at this point, their best wins against Auburn, you know, in conference play, outside of conference play, you know, their best wins probably North Texas. And I think that's one of the things where it's not knocking any of those teams. They haven't played that level of, you know, what Missouri's played. You know, they haven't beaten an Illinois or an Oregon, teams like that. And so I think for Arkansas, you just want to see, you know, this is going to be the big test for them is, you know, losing that game against Missouri, like you said, a little shorthanded, but still, I think this is the big test for Arkansas to see what level are they on going up against the Tennessee team that does defend so well. And for Arkansas, you know, he's done a pretty good job of taking care of the ball. They've got some guys that certainly, you know, have some experience at the guard position. Plus, they're adding in new guys. So I think for them, they're probably in that group of teams where I'm just like, I want to wait and see. And I think there's going to be no better evidence of that than this game on Wednesday, just because, you know, Tennessee does present so many different challenges on defense. And I'm very curious to see, you know, how Arkansas kind of adapts to that.
Hey, final item, Blake. It's still early, but do you think home versus away, how much is that going to matter for teams this season?
Yeah, I tell you, the more I look at some of these, I just think it's a situation where I don't know, you know, exactly how much of a difference there's going to be now. And I think that's something going into the season, we weren't really sure. You know, and it's funny because I remember, like, we talked about it just in the normal home and away atmosphere. But then you have to think, it's like, well, it's not the normal home and away atmosphere. And I think we're seeing that so much with some of these different games to where I think you're getting more of these different results because, you know, you have to take that into account. It's certainly a big deal because we've always talked about college basketball and just the scope of the crowd and the atmosphere and everything that goes along with it. Not having that in play, it's so different now. And I think, you know, you're going to have some of these games where, you know, a Tennessee team goes on the road and beats a Missouri by 20. If that game's played, you know, under normal circumstances, I think it's probably a little bit different, even as good as Tennessee is. So I think there's just so many different aspects that make this season very unpredictable, and I just think that's going to be the way it is pretty much the rest of the way.
Blake Lovell with Blue Ribbon Yearbook. SEC play is up and running. College basketball around the country is up and running. What's going on there at Blue Ribbon Yearbook for college hoops fans?
Well, Josh, aside from my dog barking at something outside here, he's on a roll here, but hopefully
hey, I've got
not
a two-year-old way downstairs that's doing the same, so we'll get them connected here later.
Well, he's clearly excited about the start of the season and clearly excited about Blue Ribbon Yearbook. But, yeah, you can check that out still at blueribbonyearbook.com. As we said, it's something where it's obviously you look at it, you know, going into the season. It's a great resource, but it really is a great resource throughout the season also. There's just so many different nuggets of information that can kind of help you get ready for some of these games and conference play, compare some of these teams. You can still check that out at blueribbonyearbook.com. And of course, we've got our weekly coverage over at blueribbons.substack.com. Lots of great stuff going up there as well.
Blue Ribbon, you know the name for college basketball coverage. Hey, Blake, appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much. And we'll talk here again next week.
Sounds great, Josh. Thanks.
I will head into the final segment of today's show with news of a wide receiver coming back to play for Tennessee and another receiver to pay attention to as he's been offered by the Vols to come in as a transfer. That coming up next right here on Locked On Vols with today's show presented by rockauto.com. Man, they make things so convenient. If you are looking for a part for your vehicle, think about the idea of going to a store and just how inconvenient that might be and what you might have to pay. If you go to the store, they bring out the part and I guess you pay what they charge. If you go to rockauto.com, they have a catalog that's unique. It's remarkably easy to navigate and it comes with a number of different options. You can quickly see all the parts that are available for your vehicle. Then you choose the brand, specification, and price you prefer. And they're going to help you save because with the number of different options they have reliably low prices, and they're the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So if you need a part, if you need something for your vehicle, go to the website rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Make sure you write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's at rockauto.com. Wide receiver Velus Jones Jr. announced good news for Tennessee on Monday. He put out a statement through the University of Tennessee that announced he's coming back for another year. He was a grad transfer a year ago, and the NCAA granted everybody an extra year of eligibility. Jones is going to take that offer at Tennessee. In his statement, he included this, quote, "I arrived to beautiful Rocky Top just shy of 1 year ago in February 2020 as a grad transfer. In such a short amount of time, I have worked to earn the trust of both my teammates and coaches. Just as importantly, I've had to earn the trust of the fans and students. I thank you all for entrusting me, and the end of the season was just a glimpse of what's to come." Jones went on to say, quote, "During a post-game media interview this season, I expressed that I felt like I was back to my high school ways, having fun. Growing up, I was raised on SEC football, and now it is my reality. With that being said, I am excited to be returning to Tennessee for my final year. Go Vols." That's Velus Jones Jr. He's coming back for another year. And with Jones returning, with Jalin Hyatt emerging to me as a freshman with clear ability and now a chance to grow into a bigger role next season, we'll see how other younger wide receivers develop. There's real potential for Tennessee's wide receiver position. Replacing Josh Palmer will not be easy, but I would also say he is replaceable. And look, you have to get ready to replace players all the time. That's how it works in college. But having Jones come in, the thought was he could be a good return man and work into the offense. And he did work in as the season was going along. He mentioned the end of the season was just a glimpse. He did not have a catch in the Texas A&M game, was not really that involved in the offense, which was peculiar. He had a big game against Vanderbilt. It was also Vanderbilt. And he had a pretty good performance against Florida, including a touchdown with 27 seconds to go. His ability is pretty obvious, and the idea of getting him more involved is probably something that should have been there earlier in the season. Tennessee will have a chance to right that wrong, if that's what it is, heading into 2021. So there's potential there in the passing game for Tennessee. And then also, word came out on Monday from Jamari Joyner, a transfer from Arizona, that he has received an offer from Tennessee. Joyner is a former quarterback who turned receiver. He led Arizona in receiving yards in 2019. This past season was a shortened season, so it's difficult to really read much into the stats, but he's a good athlete. About 6'1", 214 is how he was listed at Arizona. So Jamari Joyner is a player to pay attention to as the Vols appear to be looking for more help at wide receiver, potentially on the transfer market. They have Julian Nixon coming in the 2021 class. Walker Merrill is going to be an early enrollee, so he'll be on campus this spring. A wide receiver signee from the Mid-State in Brentwood. But the Vols are looking to add some help to go along with guys returning like Jimmy Callaway, Jimmy Holiday, Malachi Wideman in the freshman class along with Jalin Hyatt. And then you have other players who we'll see what they can do in this upcoming year. Cedric Tillman maybe could factor in more. What is the status of Ramel Keaton, who did not finish the season with Tennessee? But the Vols are looking for more wide receiver help, and they're going to go after any kind of help they can find on the transfer market. They'll try to get involved with Eric Gilbert, the transfer from LSU. Every school in the country, though, would love to have that kind of player. But good news at the end of last week with Cade Mays deciding to come back for another year at Tennessee, and Velus Jones is doing the same. Tennessee needs as much help as it can get on offense. I think that's pretty clear. Also, with the conversation in the first segment about Jeremy Pruitt's status, it's at least worth mentioning that Harrison Bailey's father tweeted out on Monday evening this, quote, "As much as we love Tennessee, Harrison Bailey came to play for Coach Pruitt. All caps, period." That was a tweet from Harrison Bailey's father. At least worth mentioning, as I'm sure he's seeing and probably hearing all kinds of speculation and rumors about Tennessee's head coach. We'll continue to monitor, we'll continue to track, and on tomorrow's show, we'll get you ready for Tennessee and Arkansas. It's a game coming up on Wednesday night, a bounce-back spot for the Vols. I think Tennessee will bounce back well. But we'll look at the matchup and preview the game and continue to talk Tennessee football. Coming up on tomorrow's show, Locked On Vols. Thank you for hanging out today. I'll see you tomorrow right here on the Locked On Podcast Network.